So are you guys having a good time so far? Man, I am so proud of the cast. I mean, you guys probably don't realize it, but they've only had a few weeks to actually put the first show together. And when you're a new cast coming together, getting to know each other, trying to figure it out, that's a challenge. And I'm so proud of them. Can we just give them a hand one more time? They did an amazing job tonight. And so the whole idea tonight, Blake set it up earlier, and he just kind of recapped what the skits were sort of intended to communicate. And of risky business. And faith is what we're talking about. And that faith requires risk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says, "The just shall live by faith." And that was something that was said at a time when Habakkuk was facing some very, very difficult situation, a very difficult situation, very challenging times for him. The just shall live by faith. Don't worry about what you see. You trust in God. In fact, in Hebrews 11, it reinforces that. And it goes through this list of people that all lived by faith. And it's amazing when you read their stories and you hear. I just want to read a couple of verses to you. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And that's kind of what that last dance was just about. Light up the sky. You show me that you are with me. Creation testifies that there is a creator. And we acknowledge this. Faith in God does require risk. But it is a lot less risky than the alternative. Not putting faith in God and putting faith in myself or science or politics or money. Those things are very unreliable, and that truly is risky business. So we put faith and trust, you know, putting our trust in things. Many times we trust things that are not trustworthy. We trust a lot of things. You guys know that? I'll give you an example. How many of you drive? Grown-ups can raise your hand too, because I'm assuming you drive. So when you drive somewhere, just driving on Hurlong right here, right out in front of the church, right? You're trusting that someone that you don't know in a car, 6 feet on the other side of the road, coming right at you, 35 miles an hour, you're trusting they're going to stay there. And you don't even know that joker. I mean, you don't know what's been going on in their life, man. And you're trusting. That's not very trustworthy. We put our trust in a lot of things. And we're trying to say tonight, it may seem like risky business to put your trust in God, but it's a lot less risky than the alternative. The whole entire Bible, and even the whole intent of this show tonight, is really about, it's a story about God wanting to build in us an unshakable trust and confidence in him. In the Old Testament, God delivers Israel out of Egypt before he gave them the Ten Commandments, right? So he delivers them out of Egypt, and then he says to them, hey, this is how you should live. Not so that we can have a relationship, but because we already do. So God is already establishing this desire throughout the Bible, is revealing God's desire to have a relationship with us. John chapter 14, Jesus says, man, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. We're talking about putting our faith in God. Putting trust in God is easier to say than it is to sometimes do. And the root of all trust issues is past betrayal or fear of past betrayal. So there's this girl that was in our youth group. Her name was Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, every time she would see me, she would come like to high-five me. And right when she would go to high-five me, I'd move my hand out of the way. And like she would feel really dumb. And I would laugh. And I did that so many times that one time something, she was also in the cast of Youthquake. And one time something really awesome happened, and I was so excited. It was like just a natural response to go to high-five her. I went to high-five her. She's like, no, I don't trust you. It broke my heart. I mean, seriously, I was like really sad. Because I'm like, no, I'm going to really give you a high-five. She goes, no, you've broken my trust too many times. Oh, I know. I really apologize to her a lot. But see, that's the truth is, at the root of all trust issues is past betrayal or fear of betrayal. Josiah, hey, put your phone away, come here. this is my youngest son, Josiah. And he has cool pants. And I got to be honest with you. I'll tell you the absolute truth. Joe's 12. Joe had these pants before I did. I'm like, I got to get a pair. I want to be like Joe. I got to get a pair of pants like that. So anyway, when Joe was a little kid, you can go sit down, Joe. Give him a hand. So when Joe was a baby, Barb walked in one day, and I got Josiah by 1 foot, and I'm holding him upside down. And he's like doing stuff, you know? And I'm like, look at that. And Barb's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm teaching him to trust me. She said, no, you're not. You're teaching him to not trust you. I was like, but it's fun. She said, I'm glad God doesn't do that. Good point. So we're talking about putting our faith, putting our trust in God. And we're hoping tonight that some of you, that maybe you haven't taken that risk before, will take that step tonight. Putting your faith in God requires a relationship, because you cannot trust someone you don't know. Strong faith comes from a strong relationship. You can't trust somebody that you don't know. If a stranger comes up to you, say you just got your new car, you're 16, you got your driver's license, you got your job at, you know, McDonald's, and you saved up your money, and now you're buying a car, and some stranger comes up and asks if they can borrow your car, you're gonna say no way, because you don't trust them. A friend might come up to you and say, can I borrow your car? And you'll go, no way, because I don't trust you. But maybe if somebody like your parent or somebody you do trust, your youth pastor asked to borrow your car, you'd let them because you have a relationship with them and you can trust them. Strong faith comes from a strong relationship. I'm gonna show you a video here in just a moment. And I really want you to it's gonna take you a few minutes to watch this video, and I want you to really focus. It's a true story, and it's about a girl who experienced a relationship with God in a situation that was gonna require her to take a risk of losing what she was most comfortable with and what she knew the most, like we talked about with our declaration. I will not fear risk losing what makes me comfortable or losing what I think I need to hold on to. But she experienced a relationship with God that caused her to take that risk. So I want you to watch this video, true story. It's a very courageous young lady. I declare that I will not fear the risk of losing comfort or personal preference in the pursuit of fulfilling my God-given destiny. That's what I declare. Tonight, what we are wanting to encourage you to do, no matter where you are in your life, maybe you're a teenager that's never given your life to the Lord, or maybe you're an adult that's been walking with the Lord for a long time, our hope tonight is that wherever you are in that journey, that you would be moved to step out in faith, to take a risk, to trust Jesus with everything inside of you. There's really two things it's going to take. There's two things it's going to take to put your faith and trust in God like that. Number one is you got to know him. Like we said earlier, you can't trust somebody you don't know. That's why we tell our children, don't talk to strangers, because we don't know them, and you don't know them. You can't trust someone you don't know. So the first thing is you got to meet Jesus. You got to have a relationship with Jesus. You got to get to know him. Man, and as you know him, then you can put your faith and trust in him. Let me just tell you something that I've learned over this last year. Because, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. I grew up around church, and I've even been walking with the Lord a long time, and I've been in ministry now a long time. But you know what? I'm still getting to know Jesus. Barb and I, my wife and I, we've been married 21 years. 22 years, sorry, honey. Wow, that was a close call. We've been married 22 years. And you know what? We still know each other. We still have to make sure that we're doing stuff to get to know each other, to develop that. And in your walk with God, it's the same way. Just because you may have grown up around church or may have known Jesus a long time ago, it doesn't mean there's not more still to get. So here's something that I've learned this last year of my life as we've had to walk through some difficulty and some transition. And a lot of that has caused me to press into Jesus more than ever. And what it revealed to me is that there were still some things inside of me that needed to get purged out that I didn't know were there. The other thing that it did is it returned me to a place that I didn't know I left. And one night, as Barb was out visiting our son Gabe, he's out at Teen Mania Ministries, and Barb was out visiting him, and I was having some time just to talk to the Lord about everything that was going on in my life. And I realized that even in my attempt to do Youth Quake and to do ministry at my church and do all the things that I'm doing, I realized that a lot of times what I'm wanting is validation and affection from other people. And I know better than that in my head, right? But I realized that's still what was happening in my life. And that I only serve one person. I don't serve the opinions of other people. I serve Jesus. And when I realized that's what was going on in my life, here's what I said to the Lord. I was like, Jesus. And for me, it helps me to talk to him. Just literal. He's a person. He's not just a form of religion. He's not just a philosophy or a way of thinking. He's a person. And I got to talk to him that way. And so in this conversation that I'm having with Jesus, and I'm sitting and praying to him, and I'm sort of just imagining, envisioning that he's just right there with me. And I said, Jesus, I'm sorry that I've done that. I'm sorry. I want you to have all my heart. I don't want to get validation from other people or approval from other people. I don't want to need that. I give it to you, Jesus. I want to have it from you. I just give you all of my heart right now. I yield all of it to you right now. And here's what it seemed like Jesus said to me. It was almost like he just kind of sat back like this and just went, that's all I ever wanted. That's all I'm after right there. That's what I've been waiting for. I believe that tonight, some of you are in the same place. And I believe Jesus wants to say the same thing to you. He just wants you to trust him. Man, he just wants you to just yield your heart to him. And just let him say, man, that's all I've been after. That's what I want. And then Jesus showed me something, a deep place in my heart where my hurt and my insecurity hide. And he said, let's go there. And that took me to a whole another place of trust. Because that's scary, to be honest with yourself about, to be honest with him about. What I want you to know tonight is we serve a God that absolutely loves you. Man, he's passionate for you. He's perfect. He's not like the adult leaders that make mistakes, or the parents that let you down, or the people that have betrayed you in the past, or the people that have let you down in the past. He's not like that. The Bible says he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. He alone is trustworthy. He's the one worthy of putting our faith in or putting our trust in. But tonight, man, it's, do you know him? And I don't mean did you know him. Do you know him now? Because sometimes I think we approach Jesus and it's almost like a friend that we used to know a long time ago. They still seem familiar, but we don't really talk to him very much. I used to know him. Man, we're talking about tonight. Do you know him? And I just really want to encourage you, if you don't, tonight, let us introduce you to him. Blake talked about the cast that's going to pray with you backstage if you come up here, and they would like to have a time just to show you some stuff and pray with you. Do you know Jesus tonight? You got to know him. Second thing is, follow him. You got to know him, and then you got to follow him. Jesus said to his disciples when he called them, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll take that mundane thing you do every day and I'll turn it into something that has destiny and purpose in it. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they left everything and they followed him. And as they did, it required trust. They had to trust him, right? They had to put their trust in him. James says, don't just listen to this stuff only and think you've done something. You got to do what it says. You gotta step out, do what it says. I'm gonna ask the band to come on back up now, and they're gonna get ready to minister to us here in just a couple minutes. As they do, I wanna read something to you. One final passage of scripture I wanna read to you that earlier tonight, when we were praying with the cast, and we pray for you, we pray for the show, We don't just want to get up here and show off and do skits and let you walk out of here going, oh, that was a lot of fun, or that was kind of good, or I like that one skit. No, man, what we want is we do all this so that all of us, and us included, have an experience with God, where God can do something in our life. And during our prayer time, one of the leaders was praying that tonight that some people, cast members, staff members, people from the audience, that we would step out of the boat, referencing this passage right here in Matthew chapter 14. It says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake, and when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, and they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Then he got back in the boat with him. You know, when I read the Bible, you know, God gave us an imagination, right? And God's a very creative God. He's very imaginative. I mean, go to the zoo and look at the animals that are there. I mean, God has a crazy imagination. So he gave us an imagination. When I read the Bible, I like to imagine like what it was like. And then I like to imagine, okay, we know that Jesus was a person. And I like to, he probably had a sense of humor, right? He created us. We have sense of humor. He had a sense of humor. What would it be like if when Jesus got Peter back in the boat, he's like, dude, why did you doubt, man? You were doing so good. You were walking on the water. You were right there, dude. You were doing something no one's ever done. And then I bet he turned around to the other disciples and was like, oh my gosh, did you see his face when he started to sink? That was awesome. Anybody get that on their iPhone, man? Let's upload that to YouTube. And I mean, he had to laugh at that a little bit, right? I don't know, because imagine what Peter looked like when he started sinking. I like to scare people. Maybe that's wrong, to see fear in somebody's face. But I'm also learning a very true biblical principle from that is you reap what you sow. So you met Josiah a few minutes ago, and he's become very good at scaring me. And when he does, as the dad, my initial reaction is to like get mad and like, just, I'm like, I can't get mad at him because I do it to him. Well, that's a good one. Don't do it again or I'll ground you. Just kidding, but not really. So, I don't know, man, but so here's Peter, and he sees Jesus, and he says, if that's you, tell me to come. And man, Peter did something no one else did. Jesus said, all right, come. And he stepped out of the boat, and he actually did walk on water for a little while until he got distracted with everything else and made him afraid. And maybe some of you tonight, at some point in your life, you heard Jesus say, come, and you got out of the boat, and you got on the water, and you're following him, but somewhere along the way, man, the winds and the waves and stuff going on in your life caused you to doubt. You took your eye off of it, and you kind of sunk. Maybe tonight you're that person, and you need to cry out, Lord, save me. Peter said that. He already had a relationship with Jesus. Lord, save me. And maybe tonight you've fallen away and you've doubted and you feel yourself sinking. And maybe circumstances and everything else feel like you're sinking, you're treading water, and the waves keep pounding over you and you can't get out. In your life, that's how you feel. You feel like you're drowning. Be honest with yourself right now. Do you feel like you're drowning? And I want to say tonight, just say, Lord, save me. And Jesus compassionately will reach down and grab you and lift you up. And then he will say, he won't be funny about it like I just was. He'll say, don't doubt. You're doing so good. Come on. So maybe you're here tonight. There's two kinds of people. You don't know the Lord, and that's where you got to start. Really, to put your faith in him, man, you first got to know him. It's not just a religion. It's not a philosophy. It's a relationship. We want you to begin your journey by letting us introduce you to Jesus. And you begin that relationship. The second kind of person is you're like Peter and you feel like you're drowning. And you just need to cry out, Lord, save me. I want to encourage you. This theme is called Risky Business. And maybe you're sitting there right now, and maybe your heart's starting to pound. Maybe you're starting to feel like, I gotta get out of here. Maybe your palms are sweating, you know why? That's probably the Holy Spirit drawing you right now. And if that's you, this is the place to take that step. Don't be afraid to do it here. This is the place, man, you can do it. And we're gonna give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. Would you stand with me and just to stay in this attitude that we're in right now? Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Jesus, I know that you know every person that's here tonight. And I totally believe your word where you say man plans his ways, but you direct our steps. And I believe, God, you directed exactly who needed to be here tonight. You know what's going on in each one of our lives. And Lord, I pray that if there's anything hindering us from responding to you, myself, cast included, if there's anything hindering us from responding to you, God, that you just remove those obstacles out of the way right now. And let us just take that step. Just take that risk. Put our faith in you. In Jesus' name.